Let's turn together now in our Bibles to Luke chapter 15. If you are joining with us as a congregation, we are working our way through the Gospel of Luke. The last few weeks, we looked at some of the difficult and challenging things that it means for us as disciples of Christ, that we are called to give of our all, to forsake, deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Christ. We are to give honor to others. We are to be generous with others and be kind to those who we know will not be able to return to us what we give. And now coming to Luke chapter 15, a very well-known passage, this three parallel parables here told, each focusing on a different aspect of Christ's continued work. So Luke chapter 15, if you're using our Pew Bible, that's page 1013. We're going to read the first 10 verses, but our text is found in verse 1 through 7. So Luke chapter 15, the first 10 verses. "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.' Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin.' In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." And that's as far as we're reading in God's word. May he add his blessing and increase upon it. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, how long would you spend searching for a lost penny? Not too long, I suspect. Most of you would not even know if you had, in fact, lost this penny. It would not be part of your conscious observation. And when my children and I walk through many parking lots, we see pennies all the time. But imagine for a moment you lost not a penny, but you lost your car. I imagine while you're walking through that parking lot, you would not stop looking until you found your lost car. The fact is, the more important something is to us, the longer we will search for it, the more energy we are willing to exert in order to find that which was missing. Well, today we are going to catch a glimpse of what is important to Jesus Christ. And we see his complete commitment to finding those lost sheep. The cost of being a disciple of Jesus Christ is incredibly high. As we saw last week, it cost us our everything. We need to deny ourselves, be willing even to deny our closest familial bonds in order to be recognized, to be identified as a disciple of Jesus Christ. This week we find Jesus is willing to search for us at great cost. He is willing even to deny himself, literally taking up his cross in order to search, in order to find, in order to rescue his lost sheep. Luke 15 as a whole contains many favorite parables of our children and in our homes. But as our chapter develops, as Luke 15 develops, and we have these three parallel parables, we find that we are developing from the lesser to the greater. In our first parable, we find that one out of 100 is lost. In our next parable, we find 1 out of 10 is lost. And in our final parable, 1 out of 2 is lost. The amount returned, the amount gained, or the percentage restores dramatically increases from 1% to 10% to 50%. Jesus Christ is committed to finding that which was lost. I mean, look at this theme that Jesus Christ reveals his joyful devotion, his joyful dedication in the parable of the pursuing shepherd. And I know that the title in your book might, in your Bibles there, the subtitle there might say the parable of the lost sheep. I believe the focus is not on the lost sheep. The focus is on the finding shepherd. We find the same thing when we come to the third parable, the parable of the lost son. It's not the parable of the lost son. It's the parable of the finding father. So today we find the parable of the pursuing or the finding shepherd. We start then by considering the recipients. Who is it that Jesus goes after? Who is the one that Jesus Christ pursues? What is the object, the focus of his devotion? Well, there's no surprise here. Once again, we see that Jesus Christ is passing over the rich and the proud and the self-confident in favor of the poor, the humble, the distressed, and the sinner. He gives his grace to the meek. He exalts the humble while casting those proud, self-confident scribes and Pharisees aside. Jesus has no qualms about receiving sinners and fellowshipping with tax collectors. As our text opens in verse 1, we find that the Pharisees and scribes are muttering under their breath while Jesus is willingly and gladly receiving sinners, even fellowshipping with them and sharing a meal with them. Remember that in the context of chapter 14, that there were large crowds that were pressing in upon Jesus Christ. And Jesus says to these crowds, don't follow me if you are looking for an easy life. Don't be swayed by the crowds. He warns them that following me is going to be a difficult journey. But then we find the very people who are not scared by these words, who are not offended by these words of Jesus Christ, are the sinners and tax collectors. While the very ones who were known for seeking popularity and the privileges of men, the scribes and the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, our passage says, they are offended by Jesus' words and actions. Jesus Christ welcomes sinners. The unrighteous, those who know how wretched, how poor, how blind, how needy, how broken we are. The outcasts of society. These were entering into Jesus' fellowship while the Pharisees scoffed and the teachers of the law muttered. This brings to mind what Jesus said earlier in Luke chapter 5, that Jesus came to call sinners to repentance. Jesus identifies himself as the good physician, and he says, who needs a physician? It's those who are sick. Let me put it this way. Who needs to be found? Who needs to be found by Jesus Christ, the good shepherd? It's those who are lost. Those who are in a desperate state, who know that they cannot save themselves, who know that they cannot bring themselves into God's fold, who are completely humbled before the presence of this good shepherd. Jesus Christ came to seek and save the lost, to restore and redeem sinners. And this is good news. That was one of the teaching points that Paul brought to the church. Not many of you were rich. Not many of you were exalted. In fact, the reason God chose the Israelite people, the Jewish people, is because they were low in stature. They were humble. They were not significant in the eyes of the world. So it is in the church today that the vast majority of people that make the church are those who are poor and despised, not the movers and shakers of society. But not only speaking to the physical aspect, their spiritual aspect. It's the poor and needy, spiritually speaking. This parable contains good news. Because we all here are lost, born in our sin and misery. As Isaiah 53 says, we all like sheep have gone astray. We have all gone our own way. We have all rebelled. We have all strayed. And we need to be found, restored, and brought back. There is also a beautiful contrast, a surprising contrast. Because the Pharisees and the scribes are saying, well, I'm not going to associate with those who are poor. I'm not going to associate with those who are lowly, the unclean of this world, because their uncleanness might rub off on me. While Jesus says, those are the kind of people I love. You see, instead of becoming unclean, Jesus' holiness, his purity, is not stained in himself, but it overflows and makes other people pure. He dines with sinners and makes them saints. He searches for lost ones and brings them into his fold. He is so generous, so pure, that nothing can stain his hands. So then, to summarize our first point, who does Jesus go after? He goes after straying sheep. He goes after those who are lost. He goes after those who have been tricked or deceived by sin, who are now alone and afraid, those little lost lambs, those who do not deserve it. Jesus could have left us in our sins. He could have said to that straying sheep, well, you will get what you deserve. But Jesus comes to us in his grace, searches until he finds, and brings us back into his loving fold. Praise God for this loving shepherd who seeks after the lost, who seeks after people like you and me, and brings us home, carrying us in his arms. Now that we see ourselves and indeed all sinners as those who are the ones who are pursued by Jesus Christ, in our next point we find the manner that Jesus uses in this pursuit. What is immediately evident in verse 4 is that Jesus is the one who goes out, searches, seeks, finds, and restores. Although perfectly able to get lost by themselves, the lost sheep cannot be found by himself. A lost lamb will never by his own wandering bring himself back into the fold. It is Jesus who initiates the pursuit. This is very important. The focus in both of first two parables is the finding nature of Jesus Christ. That he first of all, notices what is lost, and secondly, dedicates himself to find that which was lost. Salvation is a divine initiative. Jesus is not in heaven waiting, saying, well, I want to save them, but they need to choose me first. They need to come home first, and then I will embrace them. Jesus takes the initiative, says, I know one of my sheep is lost, and I'm going to go search until I find. And he is successful every time, bringing back that which was lost. Our salvation, our deliverance, does not depend on our choosing him, but his choosing us. And who does he choose? He chooses his sheep. He chooses those who had been placed into his hand by his loving Father. And every single one of those sheep placed into the hand of Jesus Christ will be found, will be gathered. The focus of this parable is on our complete inability to save ourselves and the complete effective efficiency of Jesus Christ. He chooses us, sets his desire upon us, searches for us, and finds us. So Jesus Christ is the perfect finding Savior. Note that in our parable, as our parable begins, some people have said, well, Jesus sets these 99 off by themselves and then goes and find this one. What about the 99? Does Jesus lose the 99? The point of the focus of this parable is not on the well-being of the 99. Our passage says he leaves them in a desolate place, in a place that is a kind of like a valley or a pasture. They're completely fine. That's not the point of the parable. The point of the parable is Jesus' commitment to the lost one. That he faithfully, that he is completely focused, and that he continues until he finds that which is lost. Now, 99, Jesus has 99, the shepherd has 99 in our parable, and 99 out of 100 isn't that bad. I imagine most of our children would be quite happy with 99 out of 100 on a given test. 99 out of 100 for us as fallen sinners is pretty good odds. But for Jesus, he is not satisfied with 99%. He is not satisfied with 99% of the church being gathered, 99% of the sheep being brought into his fold. He is so dedicated that he will not stop, he will not cease, he will not give up until every single one of his sheep are brought into his fold. He will not allow one to slip through his fingers. He is effective and perfect. Children, have you ever played a game of hide and seek when no one was looking for you? It's pretty pitiable. It's pitiful. It's sad. But rest assured, Jesus is looking for his sheep, and he will find them. And if you're walking in a parking lot and a penny falls out of your pocket, I imagine that most people wouldn't even bother to bend over and pick it up. But losing one is not an option for Jesus Christ. Not even the smallest part. To illustrate the commitment of Jesus Christ, imagine for a moment tomorrow I take my family to Walmart. Family hops in the minivan, we go to Walmart, do our shopping. We come back home and I look in the rearview mirror sitting in my driveway and I say, 3 out of my 4 children. Well, 3 out of 4, that's 75%. That ain't bad, right? What kind of parent would I be if I say, well, at least I got 3 out of 4? Jesus is so committed to his people that he will not stop looking until every one of them is brought in. Notice the perfection of his search, because as verse 5 continues, and when he finds, it's not if, it's not a maybe, when he finds, it's only a matter of time until every single one of Jesus' sheep are brought into his fold. No mountain is too high, no land so remote that will keep him from finding, gathering his little lost sheep. Now, as I said before, in the context of Luke 14, we know that this searching comes at great cost to Jesus Christ. What did it cost? What does it cost Jesus to find every one of his sheep? It was an incredible payment he was willing to give. He was willing to go all the way to the cross, all the way to Calvary, all the way to suffering the shame and becoming a curse for us in order to guarantee the complete retrieval of every one of his sheep. He has such love for his lost ones that he is willing to do anything to make sure that they are found. His searching is very expensive. And it should move us as a church to recognize our Savior's desire. One application of this parable is this. The love that the shepherd has for his lost sheep should motivate us as a church to parallel reflect to display Jesus' love in our love for the lost, in our commitment to straying sheep. His love should be our love. And let's also remember Jesus uses means to gather his sheep. He uses the means of the preaching and sacraments within the church, but he also uses means of individuals. He uses us as his mouthpiece, if you will. He puts us in particular situations and families and communities and work context to tell others that there is a shepherd, that there is a means by which we can be restored to peace to God. And once found, Jesus Christ brings them home. The process of recovery will not end with disappointment. Jesus Christ searches until he finds. Upon finding, he picks up and puts on his shoulders. Upon putting on his shoulders, he carries home. And he delivers, putting right into the fold that which was lost. It's another teaching of the preservation of the saints. Jesus Christ brings all the way home those who are lost. Well, now that we see Jesus' perfect dedication to finding the lost, what remains is the completion of this pursuit. What happens when Jesus is successful? It's interesting in our parable that there's only one verse given to the pursuit. When you're looking at the parable, you think, well, what's the most important part of this parable? Well, in verse 4, we find the explanation of what happens with the pursuit. But it takes the next three verses to explain what happens when his pursuit is successful. Yes, it's important to remember that Jesus Christ will find his sheep, and he will bring them all the way home. But the bulk of our parable is on the response when the finding shepherd is successful. And what is the response? Well, the response that is repeated in the Greek word is chairo, which means rejoicing, glad, thanksgiving, joyful, exalting. Well, who has joy? The first joy is the joy of the shepherd. The rejoicing of the shepherd in finding his sheep. After he finds this sheep, he joyfully, verse 5 says, puts this sheep on his shoulders and goes home. The joy of the shepherd. Notice what we don't find. We do not find Jesus taking out the rod and beating this naughty little lamb. It's not in our parable. We do not find verbal abuse. You stupid, dumb lamb. It's not here. What we do find is his joy, his gladness, his thanksgiving that this lamb has been lost and is now found. Let us never think that our God is uncaring, unmoving, and unemotional. We read this earlier, didn't we? That he rejoices over you with gladness. He exalts over you with loud singing from Zephaniah 3. He will gather those who mourn, save the lame, and gather the outcast. Or consider what Hebrews 12 has to say about the joy of Jesus Christ. For the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross. The joy of being a finding shepherd is what enabled Jesus to persevere through the cross. Joy in finding the lost. I remember hearing when I was growing up of a young child who was lost in a cornfield. Lost in a cornfield for 2 days. And by God's grace, this little lost child was found. Was tired and hungry, but nothing really wrong with them. Imagine the joy of a parent thinking their child was lost, perhaps dead, removed from their family forever, only to have this joyful reunion. That's the kind of joy that Jesus Christ has here. But it's not just the joy of God in finding and gathering the lost. It's a joy that he invites others to enter into as well. As verse 6 continues, as this joyful shepherd returns home, he calls his friends and neighbors and says to them, "Rejoice with me." There is a communal aspect of joy when the sinner is returned to the fold. That would include joy that takes place in heaven. As verse 10 continues, even the church in glory rejoices with the angels when a lost sinner repents and believes. It includes our joy as a church, as a congregation of Christ, in seeing those who are once lost gathered into the fold. There's an application to be found here that Jesus Christ invites, calls us to join with him in rejoicing. To join with him in this gladness in that which was lost is now being found. And there's one more aspect. Not only do we have the joy of the shepherd, the joy of the shepherd's community, his family and friends, we have the joy, the personal joy of the restored lamb. In Luke 10, verse 20, the disciples came home after exercising power over evil spirits, and Jesus said to them, "The real object of your joy should be this. Rejoice that your names are written in the book of life." That we as sinners have been found by the faithful finding shepherd. That we have once been straying, wandering in our sins, have now been gathered together and brought into his fold. The joy of the found sheep should be our joy. This applies to our lives, doesn't it? If we understand from whence we came, where we were in our sin and misery, on some cliff, stuck in some bramble bush, beaten, abused, forsaken, neglected, sick, poor, needy, afflicted, that's you and me in our sins. And then Jesus lovingly, at great cost to himself, knows we are lost, searches until he finds, puts us on his shoulders, and is in the process of carrying us all the way home. And when we see our shepherd rejoicing, and we know that the saints and angels in glory are rejoicing in your and my salvation, how can we but rejoice and be glad? The Lord's Day, and in a few minutes, the Lord's Supper, are joyful events because they are a celebration of the finding shepherd, his commitment and love to that which was lost. To conclude, the opening parables of Luke chapter 15 are beloved by many because they reveal the heart of a loving shepherd. Jesus Christ reveals his joyful devotion in this parable. So let our hearts be glad, first and foremost, that he has found us. Secondly, let our hearts be joyful when others are gathered in. And third, let us share in the commitment of the finding shepherd, in the love for the lost. Praise God that he has gathered us in, and rejoice that we can not only worship him here, but partake of his body and blood in joyful remembrance. of his work in finding us. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege we have of being found by Jesus Christ. We thank you for his love. We thank you for his commitment. For we know, O Lord, by nature we are prone to go our own way, prone to stray, but Jesus Christ has come to us, has found us, and brought us home. May we be thankful Christians, but may we also share in the love of the shepherd for that which is lost. May we be committed. May we eagerly desire others to be gathered in as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.